from NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here are today's co-hosts, violinist Tessa Lark and bassist-composer Michael Thurber.
Welcome, welcome. Everybody, how are we doing today? All right, that was okay, but this is an unbelievably monumental day for Tessa and I. We're here in this beautiful hall. It's an incredible fall day. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Yes!
That's it. We've got an incredible show, and I personally think the most incredible part about it is that this is a major milestone for Tessa and I to be back here hosting From the Top at New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston.
That's right. I'm going to tell you a little about why it's so exciting for us. We were both forever changed by From the Top as teenagers. I was actually on the show for my first time when I was 13 years old.
And I was on the show for the first time when I was 17. And I'm not going to tell you what year that is because I don't want to reveal how old I am now.
Yeah, it was many moons, let's just put it that way. But a lot of life has gone on in between, and it's especially phenomenal for me to be here at my alma mater, New England Conservatory, in the stunning Jordan Hall, being here for another From the Top show. But also that Michael and I have come full circle, and from being alumni to being guest hosts on this show, it's absolutely phenomenal. And to be working with these incredible young artists is absolutely inspiring.
They really are incredible. And yeah, since we were their age, a lot has happened. Tessa, you've done all right for yourself. You've won tons of major awards, the Nomberg, which is not the least of which. And you're making this huge name for yourself, recording all these albums and playing with major orchestras, not only with classical music, but staying true to your Kentucky bluegrass roots.
That's too kind of you, Michael, but I think a lot of credit goes to you and the amazing things that you've been doing.
I give her 20% of my checks to say this stuff.
It's the same with the same thing over here. But you've been, my gosh, playing bass on shows like The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and the house band, playing classical and jazz bass, and also composing along the way, some performance music as well as for Broadway musicals. Doing just incredible things out there.
We've tried to stay busy. I try to pull my weight. But you know, despite everything that's happened in the last, 10 years, in our hearts, we're still exactly like all of these kids that you're going to meet today on this show. So without any further ado, let's bring some of them out, shall we?
Yes, on stage, getting ready to go, is the Calico Quartet, an amazing string quartet made up of teenagers from the New York area. And their violinist, Lena Marie Stoger, is at the mic. And Lena, congratulations. You're receiving one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards.
Thank you.
That's absolutely amazing.
And would you be kind enough to introduce us to the rest of your members of the quartet?
Of course. So we have Chang Yu Lo on first violin, myself on second violin, Kevin Wallace on viola, and Andrew Wallace on cello.
And amazing. What are you going to be playing?
We will be playing Beethoven, Opus 18, number 4, the first movement.
Thank you so much. And whenever you're ready, go ahead and take it from the top.
Thank you.
The Calico Quartet, ages 17 and 18 years old from the New York area, playing the opening movement from Beethoven's String Quartet in C minor, Opus 18, number 4. That's Cheng Yu Lo and Lena Marie Stoger on the violins. Kevin Wallace played viola, and his twin brother, Andrew Wallace, performed on the cello. The Calico Quartet's appearance is supported by Associated Chamber Music Players, ACMP. You guys are amazing. That sounded so good.
Phenomenal. Yeah, I know there's one set of twins amongst you all, but I would be convinced by your ensemble that you all are quadruplets, because that you just totally nailed it. It is so unbelievably moving and expressive, and something that I don't get to hear that much in string quartet playing is that you have a great groundedness and boldness in your playing, but at the same time a very lean drive to your playing, and that's just so, so difficult to do in a large ensemble like this of four players. So bravo to you all. Really, really stunning.
Thank you.
And Cheng Yu, I have to send you a personal shout out for your great work on first violin. Just amazing precision and passion at the same time, playing all those crazy notes. But I know when I'm in that hot seat, I'm also freaking out about a bunch of other things, including my colleagues, because traditionally they're looking for cues from you. What challenges, if any, have you found sitting in first violin seat?
I think what's difficult about that specific role in the string quartet, like other than the notes, is that there's a responsibility of having to keep everyone together. Mm. And but at the same time, you have to make sure like your part, because it's in a higher register than everyone else, won't cover the other parts that are also important at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, mm-hmm. what's difficult is maintaining a balance between having the role of something like a conductor, but also mm-hmm. Making sure that you don't cover other parts and making sure that there's a balance in the group.
Yeah.
My gosh, you're wearing many hats at the same time.
Yeah, that's also a really sophisticated way of looking at it. No wonder you guys sound so mature and incredible. It's really beautiful playing. You also didn't arrive to this point by accident, right? I mean, I know you guys rehearsed like crazy. As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, I heard a story about one of the ways that you rehearse. It was something kind of crazy, like you guys play together in like pitch black darkness or so. Is that right, Andrew? can you walk us through this one a little bit?
So we were playing the Mendelssohn String Quartet. There was a very difficult part that we had to keep together. And we had the eye contact, and I think we needed to go the next level to make it perfect. So we had the eye contact down, but I think, Cheng, you brought up the idea of going in the dark. There were no windows in our practice room, so we turned off the lights. It was pitch black, and we were focused on, you know, sensing breath and our breaths and body language and movements, and it turned out very well. We played very together.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll have to try being in the dark, look for perfection that way.
We're going to have to do that. We're going to steal that one. And you guys are probably, I mean, that's one great story, but you probably have a lot. I mean, you've been playing together for how long? A long time.
We've been playing together for about 9 years, me and Andrew and Kevin. And then Cheng Yu, I met a few years ago. And so.
Wow. You can tell. So you guys are incredible. Thank you so much for playing for us.
Thank you.
The Coleco String Quartet, teenagers from the New York area.
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring interviews and music not heard on the radio broadcast, are available at fromthetop.org. Over the last 13 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Tessa.
Why, thank you, Joanne. Michael and I, now we get this great pleasure of collaborating with an amazing 16-year-old cellist from Radford, Virginia. His name is David Smith, and the three of us are going to perform the Vivace from the Viola da Gamba Sonata No. 3 in G minor by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Now, Bach originally wrote this music for Viola da Gamba, as the title would imply, and also for obbligato, which is sort of a secondary accompanimental part that's usually played on the harpsichord. So obviously, it was not written for our instruments originally. Tessa and I are kind of used to making Bach work for our two instruments because there's not a lot written for bass and violin. But to have David, this incredible cellist, here with us to play this is a real pleasure. So we'll go get set up and do this. Thank you.
That was the opening movement of the Viola da Gamba Sonata No. 3 in G minor by J.S. Bach. And that was 16-year-old cellist David Smith from Radford, Virginia, and performing with me on the violin and my co-host, Michael Thurber, on the double bass. That was so amazing.
David, that's so good. That is hard music, man. At least it's hard for me. You make it look really
easy. Yeah, we were scared over there, but yeah, cool as a cucumber.
Wow, isn't it incredible? So that's not beautiful. Easy to play on cello.
Yeah. But you know what? I recognize that coolness under pressure, and I think it might have to do with a little similarity that we have between each other. We're both Southern kids, right?
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Kentucky, and you're from Radford, Virginia, which I think is in a rural part of Virginia. Is that right? Where exactly is that?
Yeah, Radford is in like the southwestern end of Virginia. It's surrounded by mountains, and it's on the New River. And it's a very beautiful place, but it's very rural. So
then you're a classical cellist from a rural part of the U.S. How in the world did that happen? How did you get to the cello?
Yes, well, since in the area I live, there's no school orchestras or anything like that, it's very hard to get into classical music or music in general. But my mom plays the flute, and she was part of a folk band that rehearsed in our house every week. And when I was 5, I would just sit on the floor and just listen to the music. And I was also mesmerized with the bassist. And
naturally.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, I know how that is. Mm-hmm.
But whenever they would take a break and he would put the bass down, I would go over and start plucking the strings. And then my mom would look out the window later, and I would be in the yard with 2 sticks bowing them together. So she's like, okay, wow. Well, we have to do something with him. So,
But it wasn't just music and family and beautiful mountains for you in Virginia, was it? We heard that you guys had some unusual pets.
Yeah. We started our exotic pet adventure with a poisonous toad. It was kind of useless because you couldn't hold it or anything because it was poisonous. And then, so we traded the poisonous toad for a California king snake that wasn't very nice. And then we got a corn snake, which is, we still have the corn snake, and it's a very angelic little snake. And I had pet Madagascar hissing cockroaches. We also have a cockatiel, and I have a pet tortoise, so.
Whoa. And so do you ever have any issues with these animals, like, interacting with the natural wildlife in Virginia, or do you keep them contained?
Well, there was one incident about 2 years ago when the California king snake with a bad attitude managed to get out of its cage, but we were terrified it was going to, like, leap out of the sofa or something and bite us since it wasn't the friendliest snake.
That's very understandable. All right, so in honor of this snake getting loose in the house, we are going to play a little game. So this is how it's going to work. There's an old African saying about snakes, and I'm going to start the expression, and let's see if either of you can make a guess at how this expression ends. Okay, so this is the way it starts. If a snake is in the house, dot, dot, dot. David, let's start with you. So if a snake is in the house...
Sell the house and give the problem to someone else.
That's a good idea. That's probably what I would do, too. Okay, Tessa, your turn. If a snake is in the house...
If a snake is in the house, it's worth 2 in the bush.
Nice. That was a good effort. You were reaching there. That's great.
I don't know. Okay.
Okay, here it is. This is the real one. If a snake is in the house, there is no need to discuss its length. I didn't make it up. On that note, David, this was so amazing to have you here. Give him
a round of applause.
Thank you. David Smith, 16, from Radford, Virginia. Now we've got an original piece for guitar up next on the show, played by its composer. Please welcome from Dartmouth, Massachusetts, 18-year-old Thatcher Harrison. Thatcher, will you introduce this piece of yours?
It would be my pleasure. I will be performing an original composition entitled Iris at Sunrise.
Thank you. Thatcher Harrison, 18 years old, from Dartmouth, Massachusetts, performed his own composition, Iris at Sunrise. Thatcher's performance is part of From the Top's new music series, supported in part by the Amphion Foundation and the Aaron Copland Fund for Music. That was unbelievable.
Thatcher. You're very kind. Thank you.
So captivating and so pure, and it just takes me to a totally new world, and extremely entrancing dissonances along the way. Really stunning. So how did such a gorgeous piece come about?
For about a year, I had a regular gig once a month as a guitarist in a church, mm-hmm. an African Methodist Episcopal church. And the functions of my job were that I were to arrive 1 hour early, perform virtually 1 hour of Bach, wow. and then perform the music for the service, whatever the hymns were for that week. So on one particular service, the Reverend was teaching a Sunday school class and was late for whatever reason, so I had to keep playing. So I figured the best step would be simply to improvise. So I basically improvised the piece in some form. And I improvise all the time, and a lot of what I write actually comes from improvisations, at least on the guitar. But at the end of the service, my father came up to me and he said, what was that last piece that you played? And I didn't actually remember that I had improvised because the service had just gone on. So I said, what do you mean? And he said, that last piece. And I remembered, yeah, of course. And he said, what piece was that? And I said, your guess is as good as mine. So
that's amazing, man. Give him a round of applause.
Anytime.
Thatcher Harrison, 18, from Dartmouth, Massachusetts.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. And from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the ECMC Foundation, celebrating 5 years of philanthropy and supporting efforts to improve post-secondary education for underserved students. Learn more at ecmcfoundation.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Coming up, our guest hosts, Tessa Lark and Michael Thurber, perform their own composition with the fantastic teenage ensemble we heard earlier in the program, the Calico Quartet. Tessa.
Joanne, thanks so much. Joining us now on the stage is an amazing, very young pianist from nearby Westford, Massachusetts. Please help me in welcoming 11-year-old Julia Jo.
Julia, could you tell these fine people what you're about to play?
I'm going to be playing Chopin's Nocturne in D-flat major, opus 27, number 2.
Okay, whenever you're ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you. ¶¶
Julia Joe, 11, from Westford, Massachusetts, played Chopin's Nocturne, Opus 27, number 2. Julia, that was incredible.
Thank you.
You had us just totally silent. You could hear a pin drop in here. It's amazing.
So beautiful. Yeah, always taken by your poise mm-hmm. as a human and as a player. And
thank
I
you.
Know behind a lot of wonderful young artists mm-hmm. is an amazing teacher, and that's mm-hmm. no exception
Definitely.
For you, right? So you have a teacher, you said, that inspires you mm-hmm. not just musically, but also in life.
Definitely. My teacher, Mr. Ronald Kamiak, not only does he teach me about piano, he teaches me a lot otherwise, too. Mm-hmm. Although he's in his 70s, he has been running the Boston Marathon every year, I think, for the past 46 years.
Whoa!
So he's running his 47th this coming April.
That is
and
incredible.
I mean, he teaches me from running to never give up, and even when things are hard, and just keep on doing what I love because I love it.
Wow.
That's incredible. So glad that you love the music and that mm-hmm. you have a teacher that inspires you to keep going. My gosh, I don't think I'm going on 30 years of no running whatsoever. So it's yeah, pretty amazing to me.
Same. But he's not the only overachiever. You also, in addition to playing piano, you play violin as well. Is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
And how do you find that balance? Like, not only just for you as a player, but also do you feel like they help each other? They help you become a better musician?
Yeah, or? I would say they complement each other, I guess. Mm-hmm. Since I started playing violin first, it made me, like, pick up piano really easily because I could mm-hmm. read the music. Mm-hmm. And then, likewise, it helps me read music for violin.
Sure.
And I get exposed to more styles that way, not
yeah.
just classical music.
That's absolutely.
True. Yeah, lots of great repertoire too. Mm-hmm. But I've just got to know.
Yes.
Which is harder? Is the piano harder or is the violin harder?
I have to say the violin is harder.
Yes.
Nice. Score.
And why is that?
Well, the bass is harder.
Why
than
is
both
the violin
of them, so.
Harder?
Yeah, I agree. I'd have to say the violin's harder because you have to focus a lot on intonation and tone quality, which mm-hmm. you don't have to do on piano, and that's really hard.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I wow. agree. So I'm going to tell all my piano collaborators from now on that Julia Joe told me that yeah. violin is harder than piano.
Well, it seems like you have, like, pretty much everything mm-hmm. figured out between your future as you're going to beat yeah. his record for 47 years of marathon running, right, I assume?
No.
You're playing two instruments. You've got most of it figured mm-hmm. out. But you did say that you had one mm-hmm. really big goal.
Yes.
Something that you're really trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
What is that?
So my one big and very unlikely goal is to become the first human to play live music in space.
Whoa.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
That goal.
I got the idea because in sixth grade, we are studying a lot of astronomy in science class. And mm-hmm. since
sure.
this year is like the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11, we've been studying
yeah.
a lot about
yeah.
that.
Wow.
And I thought about it. I was like, oh, that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah, I would say so, yes.
And you know what? Getting to know you, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a way for you to play on, I don't know, like the moon.
I hope so.
I agree. I actually can just see it. Commander Joe, this is Houston. Report position and status of Lunar Performance Piano Pod. Houston out.
It's a great day on the surface, Houston. Lunar piano pod position stabilized. Instrument readings report affirmative. Requesting permission to depressurize and initiate stage platform release.
That's a green light to depressurize, Commander Joe. Good luck.
Fantastic work, Commander Joe. The American people want to know what you're going to play. Can you report? Houston out.
No, Houston. I'm playing Clair de Lune, of course. Clair de Lune on the moon.
Well, it may defy the laws of physics, but Julia, you're pretty amazing, so I think you're going to make it happen.
Thank you.
Give her a round of applause.
Thank you.
Julia Joe, 11 years old, from Westford, Massachusetts.
Tessa and Michael have just released a fantastic album as a duo. Titled Invention, it combines their performances of two-part inventions by J.S. Bach, along with new music of their own invention. You can find it by going to larkandthurber.com. From the Top musicians want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians. And we're out there with them, doing community engagement projects across the country. Learn more about all our programs at fromthetop.org.
My name is Alexander Vitanov. I'm 18 years old. I study at the Interlochen Arts Academy. I play the trumpet, and I come from Macedonia. My theory professor in my old high school, he told me about Interlochen. I didn't think I'd get in, but I recorded everything and I was accepted with a full scholarship. My parents didn't have enough money for the tickets and for the visa fees, but I was decided that I was gonna come, and that was it. When I decide something, it can't change. So I had to play in bars with my band and play folk songs in order to make money, do labor work in my grandparents' village. I got the money and I finally got to the summer camp. At Interlochen, everything was different. I'll never forget. I was playing in the band and we had our first rehearsal. Even on the tuning note, I hear how the band sounds and I'm like, oh my God, this is where I belong. Like, this is where I need to play. And I grew up so much that summer. So I thought to myself, why not try and apply to go to the Interlochen Arts Academy for the whole year? But I also didn't feel like I belonged in the society I was living in back in Macedonia. In Macedonia, life is only good for a small group of people. For the other very large group, almost 95% of the people, life is rough. My generation is getting tricked by the government, so they will not focus on the real problems that are going on in our society and how everything is very corrupted. And my generation is not even trying to fight that. And musically, your parents had to have a lot of money or higher political status in order for you to get promoted. No matter how good I was or how bad I was, they always told me that I was not good enough. And they told me that I'll never make it. And for me, it seemed like there was no hope. You can live on very little food and water, but what a person can't live without is happiness. After the summer camp at Interlochen, they had me do a special audition. It was the best audition I've ever played in my life, and they accepted me. Now I found a community that will accept me the way I am and who I am. My professor, Mr. Ken Larson, is one of the best trumpet players in the world. The piece I'm about to play for you now is the same piece I played at the final audition for Interlochen Arts Academy. It's the last movement of the Sonata for Trumpet and Piano by Erik Eweisen, and I'll be performing with pianist Jung Abang. Thank you.
Alexander Vitanov, 18, from Macedonia, now studying at the Interlaken Arts Academy, performed the third movement from Eric Oasen's Sonata for Trumpet and Piano. And a big thank you to my friend Zhonga Bang, who collaborated with Alexander at the piano. That Alexander. Was just amazing.
Now, when we were getting to know each other a little bit the last few days, you told me on a few occasions, and also the team here, that you really wanted the opportunity on air to thank many of the people that helped you get here today. And we would love to give you that opportunity. So please.
Yes. First of all, I wanted to thank my trumpet teachers back in Macedonia, Professor Zlatko Jovanov and Alexander Nikolovski. Also, I want to thank the trumpet teachers with who I've studied here, Professor Vince DiMartino and his son Gabriel DiMartino, Professor John Ali, Mark Chris, and of course my amazing Professor Ken Larson, who is in the audience today with us, and I want to thank them. I also want to thank all the people here in the United States. I've met some truly fantastic and very good people here. I want to thank my friend Jacob Peary and his family, Mr. Joe and Miss Peggy Peary, because they helped me here while I'm in the United States. They provide me a place to stay on breaks and everything. They helped me a lot. And also, I want to thank the whole Interlaken Center for the Arts Institution, all the people who work there, all its donors. It's an amazing institution who helped me grow a lot in these 2 years. I also want to say thanks to the From the Top and to all of the organization who is behind this, and to the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, because I wouldn't be here without them. And at last, I want to thank my family, my close family, and of course my mom and dad, who supported me go through all of this and helped me in every way they can. And it's just, I wouldn't be here without those people, and that's, I feel so grateful. And thank you also for having me today with you, and God bless you.
Oh, it's right back at you, man. You're incredible. Give him a round of applause. Thank you so much for being here, Alexander.
Thank you so much, Alexander Vitanov, amazing trumpet player, 18 years old, from Macedonia. And we're so lucky to have that glowing talent here with us in America.
To take us out of the show, Tessa and I have an original tune called Cedar and Sage from our new album, Invention. But there's no way we're going to play it alone like we normally do when we're in a room with all of this incredible
talent.
Yeah, these people are amazing. So we're going to bring some of the folks that you heard earlier back out to play this special arrangement of Cedar and Sage that we made just for this show here today. So please welcome back to the stage the Calico String Quartet, who opened our show.
Yes. Just a little refresher. The Calico String Quartet is made up of Chengyu Lo and Lena Marie Stoger on violins, Kevin Wallace on viola, and his twin brother, Andrew Wallace, on cello.
Before we kick in, we want to take a moment to do a very special shout out to one of the people who has not only built From the Top as an organization, but has also been a key figure in making it the incredible musical family that Tessa and I are so honored to be a part of.
Yes, on behalf of Michael and everyone at From the Top, all of the young musicians who've been on the show, I wanted to thank producer David Balsam, who, among many other things, tons of other things, has made From the Top's tours possible for over 19 years.
David, thank you so much for your leadership, for your friendship, for your sense of humor, and for your incredible entrepreneurial spirit. And thank you to all of these incredible young performers on today's shows. And thank you most of all to everybody out there on the radio and everybody in this hall for listening. This is Michael Thurber.
And this is Tessa Lark. And please join us for From the Top again next week. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker and Tom Vagley, with music director Megan Swan. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Matt Dykman, with assistance from David Norville and Abby Rienzo. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with John Escobar, Dev Ray, and Chris Rando. The executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. From the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, guided by the belief that the arts and humanities are essential to the well-being of diverse and democratic societies. Learn more at mellon.org. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.